Hello everyone and welcome to this week's episode of Boat Briefing. My name is Stuart Campbell and here to help me navigate through all the news from the world of superyachting is Sophia Wilson.
Good afternoon, how are you doing?
I am very good, not least because we've had a visitor, haven't we?
We have, it's been great excitement at Boat HQ.
A 95 metre visitor.
Do you know what's actually quite sad? It was quite exciting and on Friday we all had separate notifications from Boat Pro that 95 metre Lursen Kismet was returning to London.
I like that alert system in Boat Pro. So basically, for anyone not familiar with Boat Pro, you can kind of drag a zone around any part of the world and you say anytime a superyacht enters this zone, ping me in various ways. And so yeah, screens were lighting up the other day as Kismet cruised up the Thames.
We just sat there watching her very slowly, the icon, move. Along. But I mean, she's been here before. She was here as well, quite a similar time last year. She came up after Monaco Yacht Show last year. You've pointed out that you think it's because the Jacksonville Jaguars were playing at Wembley.
They are
over the
playing.
Weekend. Are playing, sorry, yeah, it's this weekend.
In a couple of weeks. No, the third. When's the 30th? In a couple of weekends.
Second weekend of flips, yeah.
Yeah. So the obviously the owner of the boat is also the owner of Fulham and the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. So they are playing the Denver Broncos, that's right, on the 30th of October in Wembley, or at Wembley Stadium, rather. So that'd be exciting. I've never seen an NFL game. I'd quite like to, that's one box I've yet to tick.
So yeah, in a former life, I was actually field producer for the NFL London game.
Are you serious?
When I was at CNN, yeah. And I did all the locker room interviews, which was quite an experience.
You had to go into the NFL locker room. Yeah. So hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I saw some things that day, and I'll leave it there.
Say no more.
Yeah, but I'm pleased that you said that because Katia, who's our lovely news and features writer and also the yacht writer on Instagram, was equally excited by Kismet to the point where she actually went up to see her this weekend in London. But she pointed out that she thought she was here because Fulham were playing this weekend, and I did have to point out to her that Fulham play most weekends, and it's something called the Premier League, which she wasn't entirely okay with. Although, I actually don't think Fulham are in the Premier League anymore. I think they're in the Championship now. But anyway, the idea of a football season had passed her by.
Yeah. Oh, well. Well, maybe it's a double whammy. He's going to watch a bit of Fulham, and
yeah,
he's going to go up to Wembley.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure he'll pop in as well.
And watch the Jaguars. I also heard on the grapevine the brand spanking new Van der Valk. 33 meter blue jeans, custom boat from Van der Valk. One of the few custom boats they've built is on its way to the Thames. Not exactly sure when, but I got a whisper of that the other day. But that's very exciting. So hopefully we'll grab some photos of her as well.
Yeah, well, I think this time last year we had a little flurry, a kind of pre-Christmas superyacht flurry. And I did ask our data guru, Raphael, to do a bit of digging. So looking at London specifically, Kismet is the 18th yacht to visit since January, with the largest yacht that's come up the Thames. Can you guess or read the script?
I did know it. I'm going to claim I knew it. Because, yeah, that was earlier this year, wasn't it? Bravo Eugenia was here.
Yeah. And in 2021, we had 13 visits, with Bravo Eugenia again was the largest yacht. In 2020, we had just 8 visits, which obviously is understandable because that was COVID limiting movement. And the largest yacht then was Le Grand Bleu. In 2019, we had 20 visits. And in 2018, we had 18 visits. So actually, I felt like there were more superyachts coming to London. And I know we spoke to someone about whether Brexit was potentially having an impact in that. But actually, the data would show that it's remaining, apart from obviously a big COVID dip, has actually remained quite steady.
Yeah. This is frustrating my definitive statement that more yachts are going to visit London. Well, it's not just London, you know.
Yeah, we haven't looked at British waters. I think if we looked at British waters, more yachts have come into British waters than pre-Brexit.
So the theory goes that boats built in Europe can then travel to UK waters outside of the EU to be delivered. Then they can go back under temporary import rules into EU waters and therefore not pay VAT that is due on their value. I think I've got that right. We did write a story that was thoroughly checked by lawyers.
Yeah.
And
read the story rather than go off.
Yeah. And we can actually, we'll put a link to that as well in the description. But it means basically the UK is a very handy non-EU jurisdiction right on the doorstep for some of these major yacht-building nations. So the theory was, so that's why we saw, there was a little flurry, wasn't there, earlier this year, of very big boats coming to, very big new boats coming to UK waters. But according to these figures, the trend hasn't quite exploded. Obviously, it's up, obviously, on, so how many were 18 this year? Actually, no, the trend is supported. Look, because we had 13 in 2021, 18 this year. 2021 still COVID effective, obviously. So we're back at levels that we saw pre-COVID.
But that was pre-Brexit.
And that was pre-Brexit.
So it doesn't prove our theory, but I think we need to look at UK waters as a whole, whereas I think this is very specifically yachts that have come into London.
Isn't it frustrating when your theory isn't borne out by the data? I think we should wait until the end of the year and 2023. I think there's going to be, because the order book's so full. My theory will stack up.
Okay. If not, just manipulate the numbers.
Yeah, we'll just change.
U-turn. There's a few of those about at the moment.
I know. I'll do a Liz. Right. We'll talk about other boats visiting UK waters. There's some really interesting boats around at the moment. Not new ones being delivered, but new ones that are just here for various reasons, for servicing, refit or whatever. So Northland, the extremely well-travelled 31.55-metre motor yacht from Berger, is in Portsmouth. This boat has not stopped since its delivery back in 2017. She even found time to feature on the cover of our March 2019 issue of Boat International US edition. So looking back at her track over we go back 1,000 positions in Boat Pro. So looking back at all those, she'd done some wild stuff in 2022. So in May, she was in Rhode Island on the east coast of the US. Then she headed up to Newfoundland. Then she went even further north to Greenland, spent a few days exploring there. Then she crossed the very far North Atlantic via the Faroe Islands and arrived in Norway on the 7th of June. So that's not bad. She did the passage from Greenland to Norway in just 7 days. Then after a summer in the fjords, obviously the captain, crew and owner thought Portsmouth is the place to be. So they went south to check out Pompey. Actually, the old town of Portsmouth's delightful.
Definitely a Voyager Award entrant there.
Yeah, you're right. Actually, it's a great shout. Yeah, brilliant. Because Faroe Islands, I mean, how many boats go there? Very, very few. Phoenix, the newish 40-meter Bonetti Oasis, is in Southampton nearby. So she's had a pretty good summer too. She explored up the Irish Sea, going as far north as Jura in Scotland, perhaps to do a little tasting of some fine single malts up there. Who knows? There were stops in Dublin along the way and Ballycastle. She's been also down to Jersey and popped into Le Havre in France. Typically, there's a few big boats down in Falmouth that our friends Pendennis. So the 60-meter Slipstream is there. Slipstream is owned by Jack Cowan, obviously, who has been interviewed on this very podcast. And we'll put a link in the description. So Katya got to spend some time on Slipstream this summer, didn't she?
Yeah, there was a Burgess very kindly hosted a lunch on board. And I can't remember where I was, but I wasn't available.
I think it was in town.
Yeah, that was another yacht that's come to London.
Yeah.
She did a fun video of her time on board.
That's right. Yeah, I remember watching that. So in 2022, so apart from the middle of London, she's been all over the place. She visited Ireland, North and South, Scotland, Norway, Denmark, Germany, France, the Channel Islands, and also the UK, obviously. Telios, the 49-meter Fedship, is down in Falmouth as well with Pendennis. So she's had a really busy summer as well. So she went as far north as Tromsø.
Great pronunciation.
Good accent.
Yeah.
Tromsø.
Full marks.
Yep. I don't know if it's right or not. That's how I imagine Norwegians say it. So she went as far north as Tromsø in Norway in May before making her way down the coast to Stavanger. She then crossed to Scotland, stopping off in Stornoway in the Western Isles, rather. She spent a couple of weeks in Whiskey Country before heading down the Irish Sea to Falmouth. So they've covered some huge distances, these boats. And to do all that in a single season is really impressive. And I hope more boats follow suit and head up to Scotland, because it's such a beautiful place, especially the Western Isles. in the Highlands where these guys were, totally wild, totally romantic, and the drinking opportunities are first class.
Yeah, well, Emma, who did my maternity cover, went back when I was travel editor during the worst time ever because it was during COVID. So she didn't get to go anywhere, but she did get to go to Scotland with Eos.
That snuck in, right, just before...
I think she
lockdown.
Went over the summer, like sort of one of when it eased a bit over kind of all, I think kind of August 2020 time. And yeah, I mean, the full feature is on the website, but she had an absolutely incredible time. It was just a bit unfortunate that was the only travel she got to do during her maternity cover period.
But I'd love to do that trip in a classic. And I know Fair Lady's been up there. So a fairly modestly sized kind of 1930s classic motor yacht.
I mean, what? It's quite a specific request you're putting out here.
Yeah, yeah. I think that would just be the ultimate platform to do that kind of trip in. I'd love to do that.
Eos. Offers to podcaster, but international.
I'm fairly low maintenance guest, I promise. Speaking of Scotland, actually, there's a very interesting yacht that sent its last AIS ping in 2020, but I think it's still in Edinburgh because I looked on Google Earth and the most recent Google Earth satellite shot showed the boat there. So it's 76-meter research vessel Petrel, previously owned by Microsoft's Paul Allen. It might still be owned by his estate. I'm not entirely sure. He bought the boat in 2016 and most famously used it to discover the USS Indianapolis, which sank in 1945. History buffs will remember after being struck by torpedoes fired by a Japanese submarine. She was returning actually from delivering the components to the tiny island of Tinian for the first atomic bomb. The bomb, codenamed Little Boy, was then dropped on Hiroshima. So the US Navy didn't know about the sinking until 3.5 days later when survivors were very fortunately spotted by a seaplane. And of the 900 men from the Indianapolis that went into the water, only 316 survived, with many dying of exposure, dehydration, drowning, and, of course, shark attacks. So this is all really just an elaborate excuse for me to talk about one of the greatest monologues in Hollywood history, when Quint is telling Chief Brody and Richard Dreyfuss's oceanographer character Hooper about his Navy service in the movie Jaws. If you'll bear with me, listener, Sophia's already cringing. Sometimes the shark, he looks right at you, right into your eyes. You know a thing about a shark? He's got lifeless eyes, black eyes, like a doll's eyes. When he comes at you, doesn't seem to be living until he bites you, and those black eyes roll over white. And then you hear the terrible high-pitched screaming.
Can I also just be clear? So this started from yachts in the UK, and then you tenuously linked it.
Not tenuously.
Okay.
It's absolutely rock solid, this link. Tenuously.
How did you get to Jaws from there?
USS Indianapolis.
So the submarine that she discovered.
So, yeah, Petrel discovered the USS Indianapolis. Right. Which
some people died of shark attacks.
Which sank in 1945. Which in the movie Jaws, Quint, the character, the surly... captain of the boat that goes and hunts and kills Jaws, he was on the USS Indianapolis.
Okay, all right, I'd missed that connection. That is slightly less tenuous.
Yeah, no, it was an awful Quint impression. I'm really, really sorry. But it is one of the greatest movie scenes. Bravo, Mr. Spielberg. Yeah, sensational. Quint, what a character. So yeah, so in the movie, he's on the boat with Chief Brody and Hooper, and he's recounting being in the water.
Right. Okay. Sorry, I've got the connection.
The 900 other survivors, 900 other men who went into the water when the Indianapolis was sunk. Because his story, the mission was so secret, which it was, of course, because they are delivering the components for the first atomic bomb, that no one knew about it. And then there was some kind of miscommunication, and the boat went down. The ship went down. It was a heavy cruiser, a huge ship. No one knew for 3.5 days. So that's all actually completely factual. And the sharks came circling. Anyway, on that cheery note, I hope that's given you at least a little bit of an excuse to go and rewatch one of the greatest movies of all time. That is, of course, Jaws. Anyway, we're not talking about the silver screen. Let's talk about the small screen now, Sophia.
Yeah, so not quite Jaws level, but a quick update for Below Deck fans, which is that the 10th season is set to return on November the 21st with the largest yacht in the show's history, the 60-metre Bonetti motor yacht St. David. I believe it's going to be based around the Caribbean, particularly around St. Lucia, and it will follow the crew through an 8-week charter season under the guidance of Captain Lee is back. Delivered in 2008, St. David's a fully customed yacht with both exterior and exterior design from Winch. And she was actually a finalist at the 2009 World Superyacht Awards, where the judges were impressed by her sleek supercar-inspired profile. The yacht has a classic Baroque theme with an intricate marquetry made from satin woods and a sky lounge area that draws inspiration from a Tuscan palazzo. She's actually currently available for charter through Morley Yachts. So she normally is available for charter from €325,000 a week during low season, and then she goes up to €345,000 per week during the high season. I'm quite excited because I've actually been on this yacht at an Antigua charter show, and I can't remember which one it was, but it was definitely one. I was a judge at the Chef's Comp over a number of years, and it was definitely one of those. I actually still have lots of the photos on my phone, and I tried to go back and see whether I could find the lavish menu that they put on, but unfortunately I can't. But it's anyway, it's added to my chat at weddings when I'm inevitably asked about Below Deck.
Tough life you led as travel editor, isn't it? judging Antigua at the Superyacht Chef competition.
I just
what
like to say,
a chore.
I would just like
what
to say,
a chore.
It actually is quite intense because you do 10 yachts a day, 3 courses a yacht.
Oh, it sounds awful. No, my heart's bleeding, literally bleeding.
Genuinely, and my family hate this. I still can't eat lobster as a result because I ate too much lobster one year. And it's like my body can't tolerate it anymore.
You've eaten too well.
Yeah.
You've got an aversion to lobster because you've had just too much.
I've just had too much. The struggle is real.
My God. But this is one of the flasher boats Below Deck.
Yeah, I think it's definitely the largest yacht. And I would say she's very, her interior, it's very kind of true super yacht style. So it'd be interesting. And it's interesting to see which owners are now kind of up for having their yachts featured in that way.
I think we should be invited as guests on Below Deck. They've had charter brokers on there before, haven't they?
Mm.
Quite a few times. I've only ever watched one season of a Med one. I watched a Med one. That's not true. I've seen two Med ones. Yeah, and one of them, I'm sure charter brokers got invited on. So
we need to work on it. I mean, we talked to Bravo, who put it together. We also talked to them quite a lot, particularly for our sister publication, Dot Walk, to get access to some of the crew members and captains. So yeah, we need to work that harder. Team Below Deck trip.
Maybe when they send St. David up to the Western Isles to go whiskey tasting.
Yeah, as long as they're not serving lobster, I'm fine. Otherwise, I'm out.
Good lobster up there. Let's talk about more charter yachts, shall we?
Yeah, so our new travel editor, Georgia, who will have to go through similar struggles that I have borne, has compiled a list of some of the best offerings that are going to be available in the Caribbean this winter. And I was interested when I was looking through the list that she put together. 4 of them are over £1 million a week, which is quite staggering.
So hang on, so these are the best, to the coolest charter yachts available in the Caribbean this season?
Yeah.
In our, okay.
Kind of in, it's a selection of kind of some of the best that's out there. There's obviously, it all depends on price, budget, area, what you're looking for, etc. Four of them that she put together was over £1 million. So I just thought I'd show what was out there, kind of at the top end of the market.
This is real top end, isn't it?
Yeah. So Savannah is available for charter with Evanston with a weekly charter rate starting from £1 million. The 83.5-metre Fedship was launched in 2015 and can accommodate 12 guests and 24 crew. She's obviously a standout yacht, but some of her kind of standout charter features include her 10-metre pool, spa and gym, an underwater observation lounge so you can sit and watch the fish mingle around you. She's also got a private sun deck with a DJ station and barbecue grill. Next on the list, we have Phoenix 2, which of course was out. She was at anchor in Monaco, wasn't
she? No, she was in.
Was she in?
Yeah.
Completely missed her. That's really bad. She is also available for charter with a charter rate of £1 million a week. The 90.1 metre Lursen, she was delivered in 2010, but obviously underwent a large refit in 2019. And she, again, can have 12 guests, but 29 crew to look after you. Some of her standout features include a luxurious cinema room. There's also another outdoor cinema, so you've got a choice of two. Always important, I find. 3 pools, as well as a sort of really remarkable inside-outside dining area. She's, of course, also got a gym, sauna, treatment rooms. and a helipad, which can also be a yoga or workout space if you'd prefer.
That's where to tick the box for me.
The yoga and workout space, yeah. Can't do without it.
No, forget the heli. Just put out the yoga mats, do some downward dogs. Is that one?
Yeah, that's one.
What's that? Yeah, what's another one?
That's relevant. Sun salutation.
There you go.
Be all over it. Next on the list, we have Project X, which is available for charter with Burgess from 1.1 million per week. So the 88 meter was delivered by Golden Yachts this year, and we were of course all fortunate enough to be on board her for the Owners Club party in Monaco. I didn't actually get to have a look inside, unfortunately, so I only spent time on the deck. But she does have a triple height atrium with a glass elevator, and again, lots of wellness facilities, including a dedicated spa and a fully equipped gym.
As far as I got as far as the wellness bit.
Did you?
Boat, basically. Otherwise, I was kind of permanently occupied. But it was quite cool down there. Yeah, it's a really nice, open, very bright space. But the noises people were making after tours of the boat were very appreciative. I think they liked it a lot.
And last and most expensive on the list, we have Mad Summer, which is available for charter with Moran. And she has a weekly charter rate starting from 1.6 million per week. Another Lursen, she was delivered in 2019. She's got space for 12 guests and 30 crew. Impressively, she's got 10 cabins on board, so you'd have lots of room between you all. And she's also got a 12-meter pool and, of course, a lovely alfresco bar area. Any of those taking a fancy for the Campbell winter holiday, Stuart?
Well, of those ones, I think I'd probably, only because it's the one I'm most familiar with, is Savannah. I've been on her a few times, and I'm a big fan of her spaces because they're non-traditional. There's lots of curves. It's very fluid. It's just a nice feeling on the boat. Yeah, big fan of Savannah. And she was quite mold-breaking when she was delivered. Mm. Seems like a long time ago now, 2015. Wow. I remember putting her on the cover. Feels like a long time ago.
Yeah, she must be one of my first... boat
must
covers.
Have been 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2016 maybe. So Savannah would be my choice, would be my pick of those. But no. I think I'm leaving the kids behind for the best trip in winter. It's terrible, isn't it? Yeah. Well, we talked about being the worst parents in the world last week, didn't we? So, and in November, Toby and I are off to the Superyacht Gathering event in Auckland, which would be really great because I've never been to that event before. So I'm very interested to see that. And also after so long, seeing lots of colleagues and the industry from New Zealand. And then we're taking the advantage while we're there to go visit the east coast of Australia. Just to, you know, there's loads of people there that we haven't seen for ages. And how often we get an opportunity to go and see them. So that's a couple of weeks, that trip. So again, I'll have to create an effigy of myself just to remind the kids what I look like, and I'll just sit at the kitchen counter.
In a bid to not be the world's most terrible mother, I am actually hoping to go back to France in between, kind of after Christmas, and hopefully get Lyra on a pair of skis.
Oh, that's good.
I don't know whether two and a half is quite young to get a child on a pair of skis, but
French people put there, but yeah, 9 months old.
I think I went on skis about that age. Should be fine. She's not the most coordinated, but she'll be fine.
It doesn't matter when they fall over when they're that small. It doesn't hurt. So from very expensive charter yachts to some very affordable super yachts to buy, all for under 5 million euros. So how's this for some deals out there? So Silvertip, the 33.8 meter sloop, is asking 4.5 million euros with super yacht partners. She's got great pedigree, this boat. She's built by Yachting Developments in New Zealand to a design by Dubois. She is in good nick, according to Superyacht Partners, and was most recently refitted in 2017. So that's 4.5 million for Silvertip. Indigo Star 1 is asking 3.9 million euros with Moravia Yachting. The 38-meter motor yacht was delivered by Italian shipyard Sia and Moschini in 1995 and features interiors by Studio Vafiadis. Willow, the 27-meter Moonen, is asking 3.6 million euros with Ocean Independence. This punchy yacht has definitely proved its mettle. Having voyaged from France to New Zealand with stops in Bermuda, California, and Hawaii, her last refit took place in 2019 and got a very nice new Laura Pomponi interior. Lady Emma, this is the boat I'd cruise the Western Isles and drink a lot of single malt on. Lady Emma, she's a 1930 classic. She's asking 2.95 million with Camper and Nicholson's. She was actually built by Camper Nicholson's. The shipyard was the only steel-hulled yacht under 25 meters that they built. Her interiors match her classic exterior, and she is just delightful. So if not in the Western Isles, I've got a real, she kind of evokes a kind of talented Mr. Ripley, Amalfi Coast, kind of Greek islands thing. She's beautiful little boat. Yeah, 2.95.
You as Leonardo DiCaprio in this little imaginary scene.
Who's the other guy? I don't think I could pull off Leo. Who's the, what's his name? Not Matt Damon, the other character. Anyway, there's a slightly chubby, balding bloke in the movie as well. I'd be him. Last on the list is the 29-meter Ketch Tuera, built by Alloy in New Zealand. I've actually sailed on this boat at the Millennium Cup, and she's a bit of a champion down in the Bay of Islands. She's won that event a bunch of times. She was launched in 1995. And looked in great condition last time I saw her. And great owners too. She's asking 1.95 million with Burgess. So there you go. Five brilliant deals on the brokerage market. We'll put a link to that story in the description. But yeah, if you're buying Lady Emma, just remember who told you about it. So we should probably talk about Fort Lauderdale since we're both off there next week.
Yeah.
What are you most looking forward to, Sophia?
Well, I actually have never been to Fort Lauderdale.
I know, that's wild to me.
I don't know how I was about to say I don't know how I've got away with it, but I realised that's
awesome. You're already Antigua eating lobster on the French Polynesia.
I'm actually really excited about going, about being at the show, about seeing, you know, I know it's got a very different vibe from the European shows. So, I'm really generally just very excited about that as a very kind of basic level. And then the yacht that's top of my list is probably a slightly unusual one, but Dorothea 3, I've kind of spoken a lot about over the years. So she was delivered back in 2007 and she has literally been everywhere since then. So her captain, John Creepy, is just a total legend. And he's a real friend of boats. So the yacht won a Voyager Award back in 2020. And I did a big interview with him all about that trip, which they did in tandem with a GT63 Hatteras called Post One. And kind of some of the challenge of that was because the owners are really passionate fisher, deep sea fisher specifically. So they went all around the world, essentially trying to find the best fishing spots for him. He also spoke at last year's Explore Yacht Summit about his travels. So I feel like I know the boat really well, but I've never actually been on her. So I'm really excited to go on board and have a nose around.
Dorothea 3 is such a lovely boat. She's recently refitted. She just looks absolutely schmick. To use an Australian term, it means very, very nice.
Is that allowed in the international copy?
Absolutely. It's in the style guide. she looks great. And because I had a good look around her in March at the Palm Beach Boat Show. I think we spoke about her on the podcast after that because John, I had a long chat with John there, and she's been on the market for quite a long time, which is crazy given how beautiful she is and how proven she is. He suspected the reason why she'd been on the shelf for quite a long time was because she's only got one engine. And risk averse potential buyers don't like that. But, you know,
couldn't really ask for more proof.
You couldn't ask for a more proven boat. I mean, this thing has done everything.
Yeah.
This boat has been everywhere and done everything without a hiccup on one engine. So this obsession with twin lumps isn't justified, certainly in Dorothea 3's case. So if you're going to the show, I do urge you to have a look on board.
She's also just had a decent price drop as well. So she's just had a $2 million price drop. So she's now asking $11.45 million. So
that's good value.
Yeah.
I mean, less good value if you're buying in pounds nowadays.
Yeah.
Our economy is... circling the toilet apparently, and look, if you're buying in dollars,
yeah, it also gives me a quick excuse to segue quickly into a plug for the Explore Yacht Summit, which obviously I mentioned. Smooth. Captain John's not speaking this year, but we do have a great lineup, including a few other kind of stellar explorer captains from the industry. So we've got Captain Stephen Edwards, who's one of the captains on board Seahawk, which is the Perini Navi, of course, which won the Voyager Special Award at this year's World Superyacht Awards. And they run an amazing program on that boat, kind of combining philanthropic interest with also taking Yono around the world and showing him amazing places that he wants to see. So he's going to speak about kind of cruising with purpose and how they make the program work and how they kind of get the crew involved. And it seems to really be working. It's a new, my understanding is the owner's new kind of to the industry and he's really come in with this purpose. So it'll be interesting to hear his thoughts on that. Another captain that we've got is Captain Winston Joyce Clark, who when I first joined boat, I think he was on Big Fish, but he's now the captain of Seawolf, which is another yacht that is currently at Pendennis in British waters, undergoing a very interesting refit. And he is going to be sharing his expertise specifically on Indonesia, which in his mind is one of the best island cruising destinations in the world. And he should know because he's another captain that has literally been everywhere. Anyway, the event's at Monaco Yacht Club on November the 10th, and tickets are still on sale. So head to the Boat International website to buy them there.
Yeah, come along. It's going to be a great day. Lots of fantastic speakers. Victor Vescovo obviously giving a keynote, and throughout the day, lots of great sessions about all aspects of the explorer yachting market. Some good owners, great captains. So it'll be fantastic. Good networking too. And we'll have a few drinks. Back to Flibs. What else we got? So Project Aura, the new 50-meter Heysen's going to be there. It's just a classic, cool Heysen, Clifford Den exterior, Raymond Langton interior. So you know it'll be a very, very high-quality product. There's the new Choy Lee, another Choy Lee, CLX96. It's pretty wild design, very avant-garde. She's just under 30 meters. I'm very keen to see what she's like on the inside. It's interesting, those Asian yards, Horizon, Ocean Alexander, Choy Lee, particularly a really exploring interesting new designs to maximize interior volume and luxury and space and light and all that kind of stuff. So Choy Lee is this kind of the first big push from that yard into that space. So I'm quite keen to have a look at her. Coral Ocean, obviously, the big Lursen's going to be there. The SP110 from San Lorenzo, but she was at Cannes as well. But for the American market, that'd be very interesting to see how they respond. She's got this amazing kind of split level saloon. It's just, I've never seen anything quite like it before. It's a very, very interesting layout. And a boat I've never been on board before, but I've always looked at and thought, well, I'd quite like to have a look at her. It's Blue Ice. It's like a mad looking 41 meter Balietto. So she's an all aluminium super yacht. She cruises at 25 knots, wow, mind you. And delivered in 1999. So I will be making my way to see her as well.
Do you want to take bets now on how many of those you actually get on board?
Well, for Laura, that's different, actually. Monaco, I don't get on boats at Monaco, although I did see it at Arpo. And obviously we did the events on Project X. We did an event on Blush as well. So that's three, which is more than I usually see. But Fort Lauderdale's different. You're just given a bit more opportunity, yeah, to actually do the job, to actually have a look at boats. Anyway, let's get through the news. What's up?
So the first up is that the 79-meter turquoise Project Torre has been spotted for the first time on transport from Turquoise's facility in Kocaeli to its Pendik shipyard near Istanbul. The steel and aluminium project will be the largest yacht launched by the Turkish shipyard when she hits the water next year, and she was sold by Superyachts Monaco in 2021. The shipyard will now complete the interior installation and outfitting, as well as the top coat paint application. The project marks the first collaboration between the shipyard and design studio Harrison Isgard. Highlights include an 8.5-metre swimming pool and a semi-submerged Neptune lounge. I'm not sure what a semi-submerged Neptune lounge is, but I'm sure it will become apparent.
Well, I think it's just the same. Harrison Isgard did the same thing on Elandes. So you sit in a lounge, you can see the waterline and a bit above and quite a lot below.
That's sort of what I
think. Yeah. So Savannah had the Nemo lounge.
Okay.
And then Elandes had a Neptune lounge. And because Harrison Isgard did that boat as well, I guess they've just carried the name over into this new project.
Other yachts currently under construction at the Turkish shipyard include the 76-metre Project Arrow and the shipyard's largest project to date, the 87-metre Project Bento.
Yeah, Turkish, well, particularly turquoise, just getting pulled bigger and bigger all the time. Because now Ocean Coast seems to be exclusively 100 metres plus. That there's a gap to be filled there, because obviously both of them form part of the portfolio of Mr. Al-Bawani.
Hmm.
Next up, we have the fact that 97.2-meter Lursen superyacht Carinthia 7, the Grand Old Dame, has been spotted checking into the Blommenvoss shipyard in Hamburg after a change in ownership last month. You'll remember she was sold just before the Monaco Yacht Show by Fraser. According to BoatPro's global fleet tracker, she departed Monaco on the 26th of September and was pictured traveling up the River Elbe on October the 10th. It's not yet known how long she will be at Blommenvoss and what work she is expected to undertake. She recently completed her 20-year class survey in May 2022 after a five-month maintenance period at Nortec. Lursen obviously acquired Blommenvoss back in 2016, and now the shipyard serves as Lursen's refit arm, effectively. So I'll try and get a bit of intel at the Fort Lauderdale show about Carinthia 7, scale of work and how long she'll be there. I will report back.
Lastly, going back to the topic of good value superyachts, we have the half-completed 49.9-metre hull of a 2007 Trinity 164 model is going to go under auction on November the 11th. The yacht sale has been managed by Boathouse Auctions in collaborations with Mike Joyce of Hargreave Custom Yachts. The hull is currently lying in Mississippi, not far away from Trinity, where Trinity Yachts began construction on the yacht about 15 years ago. The all-aluminium vessel is approximately 40% complete, with construction of the yacht's hull and superstructure nearly 95% complete. The listing for the vessel suggests the model would require about a $25 million cash injection to transform her into a vessel with a superyacht standard finish. Bidding is set to open at $1.5 million, which Boathouse points out is less than the current value of her MTU engines, and the reserve price is $2.5 million. So it'll be interesting to see what she goes for in the end.
Yeah. But as we know, you know, these 15-year-old half-completed boats sometimes have very happy futures. You only have to look at Victorious and Project X, both of which were at the Monaco Yacht Show, both started in Chile by Marco Yachts in the middle of the last decade. Now both completed with happy owners. So this is another opportunity for this 50-meter boat, Trinity 164.
Yeah, we'll obviously keep an eye on it. It's November the 11th, so a few weeks away.
Yeah, thanks, Sophia. And that brings us to a close. We don't have data this week because we used it all up talking about boats in London. And the fact that my supposition that London was about to be flooded with superyachts isn't quite supported by the facts. Although, let's check back in a year's time. That's it. Thank you for listening. Thanks, Sophia. This episode was mixed and produced, as ever, by Grace Nielsen and is a production of Boat International Media. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll see you next time.